Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am Joe Posnanski, and with me is Michael Schur. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
You are so welcome. And this is our draft podcast. I like to think of our draft podcast as a bonus. Little bonus for our
like a free dessert in a restaurant.
Exactly. That's what that great feeling when the waiter comes over and says, you know what, we were a little slow on getting you the food. We'd like to give you a free dessert. That's what this is. It's a free dessert. Except this is terrible. And the dessert is wonderful. So is it like really a free dessert?
Dessert is something that makes you happy and this just brings you pain and suffering.
So I'm not sure the dessert analogy works 100%. But
yeah.
But this is all we have. Yeah. This is all we can do, right? All right, so we're going to draft this week we are drafting best stuff to get at a drugstore.
Things you can buy in a drugstore.
Is it things you could buy in a drugstore or best things you could buy?
I think they're the one and the same. Favorite things to buy in a drugstore, best things you can buy in a drugstore, whatever, however you want to think of it.
Yes. And if you're asking yourself, if this is the first time you've ever listened to this podcast, first of all, go away now.
Save yourself.
I saw you the other day, by the way, we're telling people to save themselves rather than becoming your Twitter super follower.
Okay, thank you for bringing this up. Brief aside. So I was listening to the Mothership at Meadowlark Media, the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz, and Mike Ryan, who is their longtime executive producer and contributor and now does a bunch of stuff there, his own podcasts and a ton of stuff. Wonderful guy. Excellent guy, was talking about how Twitter has this new thing called super followers. Okay. And it's basically a way to allow people to monetize their Twitter profile by having people subscribe to their, pay a monthly fee, like $2.99 or $4.99 a month or something.
Yeah.
And in return, you give those people special exclusive content that only the super followers will get. So it's basically like a mini Substack within Twitter, I suppose.
I mean, do you know anything? Like, I mean, are you giving them Twitter length bonuses or is there, I don't know.
Like, okay. I suppose like, okay, so the way that you would imagine this works is Adrian Wojnarowski has super followers and he tweets out, hey, Rudy Gobert is going to the Timberwolves for 4 picks and whatever. And then if you're a super follower, he might send his super follower something like, here's the inside scoop here. The Utah GM was looking to do X, Y, and Z, but really he couldn't put a deal together with Phoenix. And so he bought, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if you are an insatiable devourer of the information that comes from a particular reporter, journalist, or I suppose movie star or rock star or whatever. And those people can either themselves or hire their social media people in charge of their accounts to like break out exclusive content. And then you say like, you know, I would like if you're Selena Gomez, you say, hey, my new album is coming out. If you want to hear it before anybody else, if you want to
become a super follower, an
hour before everybody else does,
yes,
be a super follower and we'll release the video on the super following site.
Right.
You know, whatever. So you get it.
No, I love that. But I love the idea of like if somebody's like doing a tweet like you or I or somebody going to yourself and going, is this funny enough to be a super follower only tweet? Or is this just sort of a regular tweet that goes out to everybody?
Right. So Mike Ryan, was talking about setting up a super follower situation and making some dough there from Twitter. And I had a very specific sequence of thoughts, and this is the way I would summarize them.
Yes.
Thought number one, Twitter is garbage.
Yes.
Thought number two, everything I tweet is stupid. Thought number three, I can't believe that anybody willingly follows me on Twitter. Thought number four, I can't believe anyone would ever, even in theory, pay money to me to follow me on Twitter. Thought number five, I have to put a stop to the very idea that anyone would follow me or anyone else on Twitter for money.
Yes.
Those are my thoughts. So what I tweeted was, if you are interested in becoming a super follower of mine here on Twitter, just sit down.
Yes.
Somewhere and take a deep breath and maybe have a glass of water. And if you have a dog, just pet your dog.
Yep.
And just think, try to think for a second about like what led you to this point. Like what life choices did you make that led you to the point where you were imagining paying me, a wealthy comedy writer,
yes,
$3 a month to hear things that I would absolutely tweet for free and have been for 15 years.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I think that this is important. I think it's really important. And I understand that there are people who are not wealthy comedy writers who maybe have information or skills or visual things that they've created, art that they've made that they would benefit from,
sure,
from people subscribing to them, being super followers on Twitter. I bear you no ill will at all. I hope that you do monetize anything that you make or are aware of, or your thoughts or opinions. If those things are valuable in an open and free marketplace in a capitalistic society, go crazy.
Sure.
I just think that for most people like me, that this is even by Twitter standards, this is a terrible idea.
It really is amazing. But you did notice at least one person did want to keep wanted you to become a super follower throughout.
That was you.
Yeah, it was me. And you just denied me, just like said no.
You said I still want to be a super follower, and I said your request has been denied. And then you said you were appealing it to the commissioner. I said that your request has been denied by the commissioner. Like no one. I will never. I can promise you this, America. Listen very carefully.
Yes.
I'm on record now. I will never allow anyone to be a Twitter super follower.
No. Although I gotta say, that's what a lot of those Live Golf guys said. They said, "I will never join
True.
Live Golf."
That is true.
There was a tweet.
I might live to eat my words.
There was a tweet. Yeah, basically, when everything else is gone, the only thing left is Twitter followers. Like literally, there'll be no other form of entertainment in the world other than you have to follow, super follow Twitter people.
Oh, no.
Did you see the tweet, by the way, where they showed the Live Golf private jet?
No.
Oh my gosh, that was I assume it was real. I don't know. I kind of just glanced at it. But it's like this, it's like something from out of, it's like Studio 54 in the air is what it looked like, essentially.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know. Just yeah, no, because as many of them have said, this is all about growing golf.
So this is a private jet that all of the Live golfers can make use of?
It is something that takes Live golfers to the tournament, maybe? I mean, I assume there's some form. I don't know. I mean,
those guys all fly privately anyway.
But why do they have to pay for it when Live Golf is going to pay them to do it? And that Live Golf thing, we've already talked about it. We're not going to talk about it again. But I don't know if you saw poor Graham McDowell's interview the other day, where he basically is kind of out because he said some kind of negative things about it, even though he had signed to do it. And then basically they were like, yeah, maybe you'd be better off not being in this thing or whatever.
No, he got booted from Live Golf.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I don't even know if it's a full boot or if it's just like a sort of a suggestion. Maybe this isn't for him, which look, I mean, here's my problem. I actually had always liked Graham McDowell, and I feel like he's at the end of his career and he's like, look, I'd like to make a little more money before I go. This is an easy way to make money. I'm not agreeing with it. I get it. But here's the thing. If you sign the deal, you sign the deal, right? I mean,
yeah,
at that point, you can't like sign the deal and also blast live golf. Like that's not an option when it comes
yeah,
to
you
that kind
you
of
don't
thing.
You don't sign your soul over to the devil and then complain about how the devil's treating you.
It's exactly right. None of the great devil stories has them like going to the press and telling people how terrible the devil is, you know? I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
and they don't have the devil coming out and going like, you know what, maybe we were a little unfair in this agreement. This is on us. We're gonna tear up the contract.
We're gonna tear it up, redo it, rework this thing for you. All right, so back to our draft. We are drafting things that you can buy in a drugstore. And why don't you start? Why don't you start us off?
All right. This is tough. I don't think there's no LeBron in this draft. This isn't like an obvious number one. So I'm going to go with something that might seem a little bit obscure, but my number one pick is holiday specific candy.
Wow.
So the drugstore, one of the great things about your local drugstore is that you can reliably count on your drugstore helping you mark time. And the way that it marks time is at Valentine's Day, it's got a whole row of Valentine's Day candy.
Yes.
And at Easter, it's got a whole row of Easter candy and Easter grass and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And not really candy, but on July 4th, there's a whole bunch of
sparklery
American flags
kind of
and sparklery things.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Halloween, we all know how great the Halloween aisle is.
I think they're first to the table on Halloween, don't you think?
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
It's Halloween. And they are Halloween candy shows up the day that kids go back to school.
Yes.
Now. Like September 3rd, the Halloween aisle is up and
ready
running.
Ready and rolling, yeah.
And then there's like a Thanksgiving aisle, and there's obviously a Christmas aisle. And so I think that one of the things that we are losing in a world where we order everything over the internet from Amazon or Walmart.com or whatever, is that specific feeling of like going into the drugstore. You go into Rite Aid or CVS or Walgreens or whatever, and you see like, oh, the Easter candy is up. It's March, it's March 4th, and the Easter candy is up. And that's like a very specific way that at least I sort of mark the passing of time and the seasons and the course of the year. And I really love that. The drugstore is like the main place where I think that happens.
I think that is such a great pick. And I'll tell you why I think it's a great pick. Because you suggested this topic and my mind went around like, well, what? Everything you can get in a drugstore, you can get in a supermarket now, right? Like
right.
Everybody's got their own pharmacies. So what is it specifically about the drugstore that makes this great? So that's like great. So I am going to go with a crazy pick with my first pick off the board. I am going to go with the clearance table that they have at drugstores. They're so delightful. They're so delightful because you literally have no idea what's going to be on there. Like you'll find, like toward the end of the year, you're guaranteed to find like 2022 calendars. Like that's a big thing that you could find there.
Always.
You'll find some weird candy you've never heard of before or one you haven't seen since you were like a little kid. You'll find weird puzzle books like that kind of thing. Dolls. There will usually be a doll of some
You'll find a weird three pack of off-brand Frito flavors.
Right.
Jalapeno cheddar Fritos, something.
Exactly. And it's delightful because it's different every single time you go in there. You have no idea why they're putting those things on clearance. You have no idea how those things ended up in the drugstore to begin with. So I am often pulled into drugstores because, you know, obviously picking up medication or whatever. So there's a waiting time and then you go to the discount and there's never a time I've been there where there hasn't at least been a thought in my mind, I should get that.
Yeah. You'll also find like a DVD of the movie Triple X starring Vin Diesel for like $1.99.
It's always there. See, it used to be in the old days you would find like an old CD of like the Eagles,
like Journey's Greatest Hits.
Journey's Greatest
something.
Hits, yeah, exactly, exactly. Or the Eagles, but an album you've never heard of, like from the Eagles,
right.
You know.
And
yeah.
And you have that thought of like, what, $3.99? Man, how can I say no to this?
I mean,
like,
this is crazy good. So yeah, totally love the discount.
The Claire's table is basically it's like a random person's garage sale.
That's exactly right.
It's just everything is really cheap. And you don't need any of it, but it's so cheap that you're like, well, I don't. How can I afford not to buy this foreigner album?
I was in there. I was in a drugstore not that long ago, and went to the clearance table, as I always do. They had a Sony Walkman at the table, which is great. And it was like $2 or something. And I'm like, I should get this. I should absolutely get this Sony. What would I do with it? Nothing. Like it would just be clutter for my house. But I totally wanted the Sony Walkman. So
yeah, another thing you always find on those tables is, or those sections, is like blank CDRs.
Oh
yeah,
like this is 1993. I want to burn myself a new LaserDisc here.
I mean, look, Roger Goodell's going to come down on you a little hard for choosing the entire clearance table instead of an individual thing. But it's still a great. It's a great subject heading.
Yes.
Like what's on the clearance table at your local Rite Aid is a great headline. All right, I'm gonna go with one of the only things that you actually kind of have to go to the drugstore to get.
Yep.
Still.
Yep.
Which is greeting cards.
Yes.
So once or twice or maybe three times a year, we all have the need and the desire to purchase a greeting card. Perhaps it's a Valentine's Day card for a loved one. Perhaps it's a birthday card for a child's birthday party. Perhaps it's a
condolences card,
a graduation card for a neighbor's friend who's graduating from high school, something like that. And you can kind of only get those at the drugstore. There are obviously stationery stores and other places where you could get it.
And there are grocery stores, supermarkets, and half.
Sure. Yes. But the one place you know you can get a greeting card
yes.
is at the drugstore. And there are, I had a friend named Adam Goodwin when I was in elementary school, and he was a very funny guy. We remained friends through high school. He actually lives out here in California. I see him from time to time. We had this bit that we used to do to each other, which is for any occasion, birthday or anything else, we would buy each other a card that was the most obscure card we could find. And so instead of like happy birthday, I would find a card in a section that was like, like either like a, bar mitzvah card or a, like to my favorite grandmother or whatever, like something that didn't apply to him at all.
Yes.
And he would do the same for me. And he won the game. This is probably the year 1988. He won the game because he got me a card that said "for my favorite manicurist." That was that, and I still have it somewhere. I kept it because it was so perfect. So what's wonderful about the card aisle is that it's not just happy birthday, to my favorite son. You can find some really weird cards, some very, very strange and specific cards. And I always enjoy on the two or three occasions a year where I have to buy a greeting card, I love trolling the aisle and finding the weirdest and most specific greeting cards I can possibly find.
Yeah, no, it's a great pick. And I think that is the second category. There are many things that you're like, I probably could find this in a grocery store or a supermarket. I definitely could find it there at the drugstore. And so that's where I'm going to go. So that's why my second pick is not a lot of fun, but it is clearly to me the number one use of the drugstore other than setting prescriptions. And that is, if you don't feel well, that's where you go to get your medicine right there.
That's it.
Like you can go to the supermarket and get NyQuil, but you cannot go to the supermarket and get 48 different brands of NyQuil, right? Like you can get extra strength, but you can't get super extra strength. Or maybe you can get like for cold and flu, but you can't get the cough suppressant. Like
you can't get like chest congestion only.
Yes,
NyQuil,
exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So you like you go to the drugstore to get that's where you go to get the medication. And that is what leads to so many other wonderful purchases. But that's what brings you in for the most part, I think.
Yes, medicine is still, it's still the place to go to get medicine. Now, again, Goodell's going to come down on you a little hard because I have some medicines on my list.
Oh, okay.
Specific medicine.
Well, I will go with NyQuil because I think NyQuil is the very specific. Or DayQuil. I want both. I don't think Goodell would look down on me for going for both the quills, but that is specifically, you know, and I'd like, you know, you can decide whether that covers your Mucinexes and other things that are of of that sort of brand. But yeah, that's all I want. That's all
okay,
I want.
Great. All right, I'm gonna go. I have some on my board that I think I'm gonna get away with in later rounds. So I'm gonna go with a pretty high profile item. Batteries.
Yeah.
I'm getting batteries.
Yeah.
There are very few reliable places to get batteries now.
Yeah.
And quickly, you can try a hardware store if you want to. You can try the grocery store. But if you have a battery, especially if it's not like a double A or
right,
triple A
battery.
Right.
It's not the clear one. Right.
If you have a 9-volt battery need, if you have one of those flat round batteries that goes in the watch or some digital devices. If you have any remotely obscure battery need, you got to go to the drugstore.
Yes.
And you will find that battery at the drugstore. It will be there. They might have expired 8 years ago because no one buys them, but they will be there. And there is nothing more satisfying than having a need for a specific, slightly obscure kind of battery.
Yes.
Going to the drugstore and finding exactly what you're looking for. Those flat, round batteries that come in a million different sizes.
Right.
You know, you have to look it up and it's like, this is an N3233.
Yes.
And if you get an N3236, it does not fit.
It doesn't work. Right.
You're screwed. But if you go to the drugstore, they will have the N3233. They will have a 12-pack of them. They'll have a 24-pack of them. They'll have a 96-pack of them. Like, you will find the goddamn battery that you're looking for at the drugstore.
Yes. No, a totally great pick. Great pick. And it's just also, by the way, it's like when batteries aren't your business, like other places. Like, I needed batteries and I was in an Office Max. And it's like, oh, we have some batteries. Like, that's how it mostly is. Like, we got some batteries. They're not going to have the
here.
Battery.
Get out of here, Office Max. We don't need you, Office
we
Max.
We don't need you. Not for batteries. We do need them for printer cartridges, however. Like, that's the only thing. Like, if this was top picks from an Office Max, printer cartridges, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. They've got 17,000 of them. And,
yes.
And again, this, if you're one number off, not working.
Brief side note.
Yes.
In the middle of our draft. Of the many problems that our world faces, one that is not oft discussed but is a huge problem that I think we need to get on top of. And in other words, I would vote for a presidential candidate who offered as part of his or her platform to solve the following problem.
Okay.
Printers.
Oh, my gosh.
Are a disaster.
Yeah, they're a disaster.
Let's count the number of ways that printers are a disaster.
Okay.
Number one, there's 10 billion kinds of them.
Exactly right.
We don't need 10 billion different kinds of printers. We need like four.
Four.
Maybe four. We need the kind of printer that like you and I need, which is we write Word documents and we need to print them out.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
That's it.
You probably need one for graphic designers, the full color and glossy paper or whatever.
Right.
You need some that are heavy duty for law firms that are printing out thousands and thousands of documents. And you need, I don't know, some fourth kind of printer that I can't think of right now.
Yes.
But we don't need 10 billion of them to the point where when you want to buy one, it's like, oh, I just want a printer that prints things on paper.
Words, yeah.
Which of these 75,000 versions of that do you need? That's the first way they're a disaster. The second way is there is a there is firmware update printer driver, and you have to install this and your thing, and you can't find it on you have to download this and register over here.
Yeah.
And when you go to print, it doesn't work, and you have to go, your Wi-Fi is accidentally linked on to some kind of individual, like, new network that your printer somehow created in your house, and you don't know why. It never works. Your printers never work. It is never the case that you're like, hey, I have to print something, and you hit print and it prints.
It's
never happened once in history for anyone. And the third way is the no matter how often you use your printer or what you're using it for, your printer is always out of ink.
Always.
And you can never, ever find the printer cartridge that you want. And when you do, it costs $700
yes.
to buy a
twice
printer
as
cartridge.
Much as you paid for the printer itself.
At least twice as much. And it's like you have a black ink cartridge and then you have color ink cartridges that are cyan, magenta, and yellow or whatever.
Yep, yeah.
And if you're cyan is out of ink, it won't print the black and white thing that you want. Like, why? I don't use the cyan printer cartridge. What is happening? How is this not standardized? How is it not simple? How is it the case that I still, like, can't just hit print and have something print? It is infuriating.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
No, I literally, this was going to be a one last meaningless thing for me at some point. I bought a new printer 2 weeks ago, here in my office now. Specifically for the reason, all of the reasons you're saying. We have a printer in the house, a color printer. It sucks. I hate color printers. I almost never need things in color. Right. And there's always one of the ink cartridges is out. Always.
That's
100% of the time. And it always, like, even if it prints, it gives you the warning, like, every time you print, like, you are out of ink, you know, so it stinks. So I'm like, all I want is a very simple black and white printer that I can put in that prints fast. That's all I need. And I go into the Office Max, where they have the very limited battery supply. And I said, this is the printer I want. I had done my research. I saw which one. I saw the price. I saw it was, like, perfect. And they were like, oh, and they took me to it, and there were, first of all, there are no printers. Like, I don't know where they keep them, you know. There are three boxes. Two of the boxes were the kind of printer I wanted, but the number was not the same. And that's the other thing. They change the numbers constantly.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is CP30471, and then this one is CP30474. And I'm like, no, I want CP30476. Like,
right.
Like, oh, well, we don't have that.
Yeah,
well,
we don't
what's
have that
the
one.
Difference? They're the same. What's going on?
I am staring in my office at a pile of eight printer cartridges that I purchased because we bought a new printer like a year ago.
Yeah.
I bought, and I was like, I'm not going to fall for this trick. I'm buying two extra black and white cartridges, two extra cyan cartridges, two extra magenta cartridges, and two extra yellow cartridges so that we don't run out of ink forever.
Right.
Right? So I looked up the
by the way, what did that put you back? Like a car?
It's like $1,000, yeah. It's like $1,500.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so much money.
Yeah.
So I looked up the name of the printer, the Epson, whatever, NG4217685.
Right.
I wrote it down very carefully. I went to Amazon and I typed in NG47265 printer cartridge, and it came up, and there were two different kinds. One of them was like Hewlett-Packard's version, and one of them was Epson's version, but they both had the same for use with Epson NG47265 printers, whatever. And one of them was like $20 less per cartridge. And I was like, all right, well, okay, I'm getting this one. They don't work.
Of course.
They don't work.
No. That's...
I put them in. They fit. They fit in. They go into the printer. But then it's like printer error, driver not connected, ink cartridge misaligned, whatever it says.
It's
error, error, error. And so now, and I haven't returned them because I've triple, quadruple, quintuple checked. Yes, this should work. This is the right cartridge for the right printer. And yet somehow when I load them in, so I opened one of them that cost whatever, $150.
Of course.
I opened one of them, put it in, and it didn't work. And now I'm like, is this a fluke? Is this just this particular cartridge was badly manufactured? So I opened a second one to see if it was
either.
A fluke, and that one didn't work either. So now I'm already out like $300 and I've got six other ones sitting there that I know won't work either. But now it's like, well, how do I get them? How do I return them? Like, I bought them so long ago because I hadn't opened them until I was out of ink, which is 6 months later. It is a national, international, global emergency.
Oh, it is. Well, and I do not understand how Big Printer gets away with this. I brought the printer home. I also bought an extra cartridge, which we spent 20 minutes looking for because it's sort of like, oh no, they come all the way in the numbers. Oh no, this works with the blah 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 threes, but then not with the blah 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 twos. I mean, it's awful. And there are literally like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cartridges to go with. So I bring it home, and as you have already pointed out, one of the joys is setting up the printer in the first place. But here was my you can't set it up. It's not possible.
No, impossible.
It's literally impossible. But here was my favorite moment of the setup was, okay, so I'm like, I got to set this up to, you know, first of all, they're like, do you have this cable that you can, like, who has, nobody has that cable. That cable doesn't exist. They don't give it to you or anything. And so then I'm like, all right, well, that doesn't work. And then I went to the site and I looked it up and they said, oh, you can get a Wi-Fi connector, like download. You download this and it helps you set up the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, great. Okay. I download the thing. Literally, I click on it. I'm like, they're like, what kind of printer is it? And I'm like, it's this printer. Oh, no, we can't help you. I mean,
yeah,
it was like,
we can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, no, you need to go and hit the buttons on there like 63 times and hope that it comes to the right general settings. And then you got to go past this. And that. It's lunacy.
How is
Big Printer getting away with this?
I don't know. Big Printer is got to have the best lobbyists in
Washington. They do. That Big Printer lobbying crew is like unbelievable.
But I just don't understand. There is such an opportunity here for some company to say like, hi, this is a printer.
Yeah.
Plug it in.
Yep.
Turn on your computer.
And it works.
And it works.
It works.
If you could do, you would sell a trillion printers.
You know Apple's going to do this, right? Because Apple's going to charge $1,000 for the printer and we'll all pay it because it'll work.
I would happily buy it. If it were like you turn on, if you could just take a thing out of a box, plug it in the wall, and then automatically on your Apple screen, it just shows up and says, hi, would you like to connect this printer that you just bought?
And you
click
yes,
and then it worked. I would pay
any amount of money.
I would pay a year's salary.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Anyway, getting back to batteries, which is what I think we were talking about. My third pick. So I've got a very specific one. I don't know if other people do this, but one of my favorite things to buy at the drugstore is and this is not as true now that they're older, but whenever one of my daughters was sick, I would go obviously to get her some kind of medicine, some sort of NyQuil or whatever it was, or children's whatever. Then I would get them a gift. Like I would always bring back some little sweet little gift. And I got to say the magazine row at the drugstore, fantastic. Mm. There's always something. Now, mostly I'd say for little kids, but still there's always something. There's some Star Wars, you know, project thing that's there, or there's some like celebrity, and they're usually like 5 years old, you know, it's not like they're modern things or whatever, but there's always like some, or there's even like one of those word, like those things where you can take the yellow marker and take a quiz, like one of those quiz books or something.
Sure.
Wonderful for kids, stuff. Wonderful for kids, especially sick kids. You bring it home. Hey, here's a Spider-Man, thing about, you know, and they, perfect. So only in the drugstore.
Yeah, dude, that's a good call. That is another dying thing that drugstores still provide you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great call. I'm going to go with baseball cards.
Oh, interesting.
When I was a kid, there was a CVS in my hometown that was about five blocks away in West Hartford, Connecticut, and I would walk down my street and go, and that was where I got my baseball cards.
Sure.
They had them in the box. They were individual packs in the box.
There was the
rack pack, which was the three clear things. They had those too, but really what it was the packs that were in the box that was on the counter.
Yes.
And they were 43 cents a pack.
Right.
This is 1987. They were 43 cents a pack. I had a babysitting job that summer, in the summer of 87, which paid me $5 a week. I would get paid on Fridays.
Yes.
And I would take my $5 and I would go down and buy 10 packs of cards. And it came out to like $5.04. And so I'd have to bring 4 cents to pay for the 10 packs. But I just started associating drugstores with baseball cards. And weirdly, the drugstore in my current hometown in Los Angeles also sells baseball cards. Like that's not how you buy baseball cards anymore. Like now you buy them from
you
baseball
buy the
cards
full
or
set
you buy the
box,
full set or whatever. Yeah, but sometimes when my son and I are in the drugstore getting something else, like batteries or a magazine or a greeting card,
yes,
I'll go like, hey, go buy baseball cards. Go get some of those baseball cards, because I'm living vicariously through him, and I want everyone to be able to buy a pack of baseball cards at a drugstore.
That's such joy. I got to be honest. I do not think our drugstore has baseball cards. I think
really?
I think that's a rarity for baseball cards now. Like, the only option for us is, like, I'm sure there are other options, but Target yeah. has that whole baseball card yep. section, and all the other cards, like, you know, not just sports cards, but all those like Magic cards or Pokemon
Magic
cards.
The Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh,
yeah.
all those
yeah,
things.
Like
yeah.
all of that yeah. stuff. So, which is fine. But you go there, you can't buy a pack.
They're not like just packs of cards. They're like weird, like, they're like 50 card or 100 card
right,
random
right.
assortments.
Or the full set. Like, that's yeah. like those are your options. Just totally not fun. I don't, like, one of the things that you and I have talked about this, like, there was no agreement in that I know of where people voted to say, yeah, let's not sell baseball cards by the pack anymore. Like, no. I don't think anybody ever thought, like, baseball card packs was a problem. It's kind of infuriating that they just took that away from us. Like, that's
yeah.
like, it's like, it's
a bummer.
Good thing. It's a big
real
bummer.
Bummer.
It's a bummer. And I'm sure they can explain how it makes business sense, but it's a bummer. It's a bummer. I want my 43-cent packs that are
yeah.
cheap cards.
Or
I don't
a rack
need
pack.
Them to be
the rack packs
fancy.
Were the most exciting because you could
I
see
the
top card.
And you know there was that way, if you kind of maneuvered the plastic, you
yeah.
could kind of see more than one card.
But you would like, no, I'm getting a Daryl Strawberry.
Absolutely.
In this thing. Like, that's why it's
oh,
worth it.
So much joy. So much joy. Where did that go? By the way, speaking of baseball cards, did you see this story? It's not that new, but it was like a few weeks ago or maybe months ago that 1952 Mickey Mantles, that there were like 2 million of them dumped in the ocean or something like that.
What?
It was some crazy thing back in 52, not now, but that there was there's some reason that it's so hard to get is like there were like millions of them that were kind of destroyed for some reason. I didn't read the full story.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, it's like, why? Why would... I guess that in 52, they had no idea. That was really the
yeah.
first year of baseball cards, and Mantle was a rookie and whatever. But, man, like, why wasn't it 52, you know, they dumped, you know, 5 million, like, whatever. Like,
that's just
Bobo
the, like,
Newsom cards, you know?
That's the corporate equivalent of everybody's story from that era, which is I had shoeboxes full of them, and
right,
I threw them away, or
right.
my mom threw them away, or whatever, yeah.
Right. I love it. All right. Time for your fifth. Are we up to number five? Is this your fifth pick?
This is your fifth pick. That was my fourth pick, was baseball cards.
Oh, okay.
So your fourth pick.
My
right?
fourth pick. Gotcha. All right. I've got a bunch. Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to choose. I think that CVS, Rite Aid, whoever, you know, whatever you go to, is still and always will be the very best place to get travel-sized stuff.
Ah, that was my last pick.
I love the travel-sized.
That was my last pick. I thought I could get it. I thought
no.
I could get it in the fifth round.
No
oh.
way. I see it as a steal in the fourth round. Travel-sized stuff is just the best. It's like, it's, you know, whatever it is, smaller versions of it are better, you know? So whether it's toothpaste, deodorant, mouthwash, whatever it is, travel size stuff is the best.
100%. And by the way, the it's not just the little bottles of shaving cream, little bottles of
right.
little things of toothpaste.
Shampoo.
It's yeah. also the travel kit.
Oh,
thing,
I
like
love
the empty plastic bottles that are like 3 ounce bottles that you
yes.
can put your face wash or your whatever inside. Like, oh, I'm so angry I didn't get it. I
yes.
really blew this. I wanted
yes.
to get baseball cards and
I would, and you,
and
baseball cards you could have held on to because I don't believe it's an option.
Yeah, shoot. All right, I'm going to get real granular with my final pick, and say that it's a true joy to go to the drugstore and buy a new set of nail clippers. Nail clippers are a simple tool that if you don't have them and you need them, you lose your mind.
Yes.
You just lose your mind if you
yes.
can't find your fingernail clippers or your toenail clippers. And I have two kids, and I have lost conservatively 60 pairs of nail clippers
this
in
year.
The last 10 years.
Yes,
in 2022.
Yes.
And I am so happy when I go to the drugstore. What I do now, and I've done this multiple times, is I buy like five pairs of them. I just buy five pairs of them. And I put one in my drawer in my bathroom, and I put the other four, like I hide them in my safe.
Yes.
Because... but it is, again, this is what's great about drugstores still, is like, you know they have those.
You know
there's,
it.
There is no place on earth that there's... You can guarantee you can find nail clippers except your local drugstore.
It's 100% so that right.
No,
you could go into your supermarket and say, oh, I need our nail clippers. And they're like, nope, don't have them. I mean, you're right. It's the only place that you can guarantee your nail clippers. I love that. All right, with my fifth pick, I'm again going to go back to childhood. This is, again, Commissioner Goodell might bounce me on this one. But I'm going to go with it anyway because it's a fact. To me, one of the greatest things in a drugstore is having to go in at like 9 o'clock the night before your kid has an assignment due. And you trying to figure out how to make that work because it's all there somewhere. You can get your poster board. You can get your markers. You can get your scissors. You can get, like,
Post-it,
it's all there.
Notes, Sharpies, a ruler.
Right. Or they're like, oh, I need a compass, or I need a, you know, whatever.
Protractor.
It's like, protractor. You know it's going to be there. You that is such a reliable thing that you can count on with the drugstore. So love it. I mean, I guess that the answer is that there are certain things that the drugstore is the only place that you can guarantee that you can go. But if you're in a panic state and you need all the pieces necessary to make a like working volcano or some sort of like diorama or something like that, it's there. Then go to your drugstore. It's the only place you can go.
Look, I don't do this very often. I'm conceding this draft. You won the draft.
Wow.
You won the draft with travels with your fourth and fifth picks. Your travel size stuff and your kid has an assignment due that they put off until the last second that you have to help them with. The nine PM, you're the only person in the drugstore.
You're the only person in the drugstore. Exactly. And
you're getting paper and colored pencils and a ruler and a protractor.
I've always thought that when you walk in at that hour, the person behind the counter is like, kid's got a project.
Kid's
due
got
tomorrow.
A project due. kid forgot to make his poster.
So great. Drugstore
is
so great.
You won. I'm conceding.
Wow. I mean, this is a first for you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever conceded. Usually I'm declaring victory, but I think in this case, you're fourth and you got. This is like getting Gronk in the second round or something. You know, it's like it's you know, getting Mookie in the sixth round or whatever. Like
did you send the crazy video of Gronk highlights?
On
Twitter.
Was, yeah.
So you sent that out whatever last week, a couple weeks ago. It's just a series of Gronk basically like treating football players like they're little kids essentially. It's just it's one of the most, if you look at it right, it's one of the most ridiculous things that has ever existed.
There's going to be, we can save this for another time. There's going to be endless debates about who was the best tight end of this era because you have Tony Gonzalez, who, as you've written about, has every record in the book and had the worst quarterbacks in the league throwing to him.
Right.
There's guys, there's Kelce now who is like going to break all of those
records.
And has a lot of Gronk like qualities in terms of how difficult he is to cover. Gronk is the winner.
He's on another level.
It is a true case of like, the statistics won't tell the actual story. What will tell the story is those videos where you realize that half of those, that clip assemblage that went around when he retired for the second time is like, I don't know, 2.5-3 minutes.
Yeah.
And mostly what it is Brady dropping back and throwing like an 11-yard pass that turns into a 65-yard touchdown because Gronk just knocks eight guys over with his left arm.
Yeah.
And it really is like, it's not like he wasn't appreciated while he was playing, but now when you look back, you realize like an enormous, there's never been a tight end who was a bigger part of a dynasty, a more important part of a dynasty than that guy. There have been tight ends who have had better individual seasons, maybe potentially statistically better careers, but you just realize so completely what a monster he was, lining up at a tight end position and doing that to the best linebackers and safeties and cornerbacks in football. There will never be a guy like him again.
No. It reminded me, like, I love watching old NFL highlights, as ridiculous as they often can be. So you watch old Jim Brown highlights, and Jim Brown will break 30 tackles. Yeah. I mean, literally 30, because he'll break the same guy's tackle four different times as they chase him down or whatever. And you're like, this is utterly incredible. But you also know these guys are like 175 pounds.
Yeah, they were in my size.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're basically, you know, just, and a lot of them, they're over at Super 70 Sports. He always puts out these great photos where you like get close-ups of certain people and you're like, and he'll be like, oh, you know, Bob's playing linebacker between his regular job as a dentist or whatever, because they look ridiculous. They're like, they're 40 years old. They look like, you know, and Gronk is doing literally the exact same thing, except for two things. One, he's facing monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he's faster than the monsters. So they don't chase him down. Yeah.
What's wild is the highlights in that reel where he breaks into the open field and puts distance between himself and a defensive back. Yeah. Just a true beast.
Yeah, physically, I just don't know that anybody matches up to him. I mean, it's just incredible. All right, time for one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing.
It's one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing. We talk about sports and we draft things we know, like how beaches are terrible places to go. No hot fruit for Michael, no Diet Coke for Joe. The podcast, whoa, it's one last whoa, meaningless thing.
And I'll go. So I have not yet seen the new Top Gun. Okay, I'm dying to see it. Just haven't had the opportunity to see it. My daughter has seen it. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. I know you saw it. You really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's loved it. I've not heard a single person who didn't like it. It's probably got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, whatever. Love it. But I have to admit being a little bit nervous about it. Not because I like the first one. I, you know, get all this thing. But I'm told that there's an introduction before the movie. Where like Tom Cruise like welcomes you to the movie. He personally
welcomes you into the movie theater.
I don't think I'm up for that. I just feel like that's what is that again? Like, how does that even work?
So during the pandemic, after the first wave, in the summer of 2020, when things were settling down a little bit, there was this kind of attempt. I think I have the dates right, but regardless, there was this attempt to kind of maybe get people back into theaters, and the Christopher Nolan movie Tenet was released in like select theaters, England and stuff. And Tom Cruise made a 20-minute long video where he was like, I'm going to the movies. Let's go to the movies again.
Okay.
Like, it's okay. I'm going to wear a mask. It's going to be safe. And we're going to go to the theaters. And he walked through this, he was outside pointing at the poster, like all excited. And then he had a video on him inside the theater. And he was like clapping and whooping. It's very funny now, having seen Tenet, to know that there's no way Tom Cruise understood what was happening in Tenet.
No, there's no, by the way, no clapping and whooping in Tenet, by the way.
And it's not, I'm not saying he's not an intelligent person. I'm saying no one understood.
I still don't understand it.
I mean, I wasn't even close. I watched Tenet. Here's my one last meaningless thing. Ready? I watched Tenet on a plane like 6 months ago and was laughing out loud about how little I understood what the hell was going on. That's the end of my one last meaningless thing. But anyway, the point is he has sort of worked hard to establish himself as like America's official ambassador to the concept of going to movies. So
okay.
I think in this case, it is jarring because it's just Tom Cruise in a chair basically saying like, hi, I'm Tom Cruise. Welcome back to the movies. Thank you for coming to the movies. And when it happened, I immediately thought like, this is kind of cringy.
Yes.
Like, oh God. And then by the end of it, I was like, you know what? Thank you, Tom Cruise. Wow. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, like...
Would you like to see that in more movies?
No, no. I don't need it from any...
You never want to see it
again. I never want to see it again. But, like, I was like, you know what? This guy has dedicated his entire life to making spectacle. Like, that's really what he is more than anything, is he is a... He is America's and the world's leading carnival barker in a very specific way for a very specific art form. That is his life, and his passion is movies matter. Movies are transformative experiences. They deserve to be seen in theaters. You want to get a dark theater and a big thing of popcorn and a giant screen and perfect Dolby sound.
Yes.
And he has just said, like, I don't care what you think of this. I think it's important that movie theaters continue to exist. They're under siege, both because of the changes in technology and people's home theaters and the pandemic and everything else. And I'm going to take a couple minutes of my time to just personally thank you for participating in a uniquely modern sort of art form / interaction. And I was kind of into it. I got to say, at the end of it, I was like, you know what? Anyone who loves anything as much as Tom Cruise loves movies, it's kind of cute. As Amy Poehler used to say, there's nothing cuter than passion.
Yeah.
And she's totally right. Like, passion is really, really like winning. It's like a very winning quality in people. And I think part of the reason that he is such a movie star and such a global figure is because his passion for his art is... And his profession is real and thorough and recognizable, and he is 100% behind it, and I think that's great.
I love that. You know, I actually had an argument with somebody a couple of weeks ago about the whole Kevin Costner thing at the Field of Dream game.
Yeah,
and the person I was talking to is an actress, and she was saying, "Oh my God, just watching that guy eat the scenery was like, you know, the worst." And I was like, I totally loved it. I could not have loved it more. You might remember we have talked about this on the podcast. It's the beginning. It's the game is about to begin, and Kevin Costner comes out of the corn, and he looks around for like 5 minutes.
A very long time. Yes.
Yeah, a very long time. And he's looking around like, where am I? How did I end up back here? And what is happening? And I loved it.
Yeah,
that was
people didn't remember this, I think, fully, because there was a lot of confusion, but he was sort of recreating what Shoeless Joe does the movie.
Yeah,
Shoeless Joe has that same look, and so he was doing that.
Yes.
It's confusing because he didn't play
Shoeless
Joe.
He didn't do that. No, that's right.
Regardless, yes, I think
passion.
I like passion, and I like people who are dedicated... unabashedly dedicated to the passion of whatever the thing is that they love. I think that's I think it's a winning quality in people. That
totally
they're not
agree.
That they're not like, whatever, who cares, no big
well,
deal.
Well, I mean, it's like you see that sometimes actually in when actors are sort of giving up in the middle because they're like, this isn't working, you know, and it's like, you know, gotta go. You gotta stay in character and go.
And the more that you are not hedging your bets. The more you're deeply invested in this thing, the more we will follow you wherever you're going. Like, and that's why I think that's a big part of why Tom Cruise is who he is because
of that passion.
He does not hedge his bets or wink at the audience or shrug his shoulders or act like this isn't a big deal. He acts like it is a really big deal.
There is no irony in the Tom Cruise performances ever. Ever. You've never
seen
him.
He's all in, man. That guy is all in. Every single movie, he pushes every one of his chips into the middle of the table.
I love that. I actually really love that. All right. Do you think the actors in Tenet knew what the heck was going on?
No, I do not.
I truly believe they did not.
You know, there's that famous story in The Big Sleep of Bogart pulling on his ear. Remember this?
Yes.
So who is it? Is it Philip Marlowe? I always get
Marlowe,
the detective
Marlowe's
wrong.
Big Sleep.
But in the movie... Wait, is it Maltese Falcon or The Big Sleep? Now I can't remember. In one of those famous movies, Bogart, as he is trying to untangle the mystery, he pulls on his ear. When he's like in a room looking for clues, he pulls on his ear.
Huh.
And the famous story is that I believe William Faulkner wrote the screenplay, and it was so confusing and so...
I think this is The Big Sleep.
Yeah, so it's so twisted
and
confusing.
It's Raymond Chandler, by the way.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So it's so the plot was so confusing that while they were making the movie, they would call Faulkner over and say, like, so wait a second, he's here in this place and he's looking for this woman, but how did he know that this was the woman that he had to come talk? Like, well, how does he know? And apparently Faulkner, who was, you know, legendarily an alcoholic and a kind of a troubled guy, yes, when Faulkner was trying to untangle his own screenplay, he would pull on his ear. That was his nervous habit of trying, of like, oh boy, like, I don't really remember why I wrote this. And so as an inside joke, Bogart started pulling on his ear, like twisting his earlobe, as a like little inside joke of like, yeah, we don't know what's going on either. And even the guy who wrote this doesn't know what's going on.
That's so great. I love that so much. Yeah, yeah, no, when I saw Tenet, I mean, look, I just like, the bullet shoot backward. Like, none of it made sense to me, but I really did get that feeling. Not that any of the actors were bad. They were all great in it, and they all went all in. It wasn't like they were winking, but it seemed pretty clear to me they had no idea what was going on.
Well, again, you have to appreciate the swing that he's taking. Like, that guy, Christopher Nolan, takes enormous swings, like $200 million swings at these crazy art movies. But there are moments in that movie where people say things, and I am 100% sure that they don't know why they're saying them or what they mean.
Right.
There are long sequences where people are on boats that are sailing backwards, and it's entirely unclear how that's happening or what's going on in my world. Can I see you moving back? Like, what in the world is happening? There's also a really funny thing in Tenet where one of the main characters is in thrall to Kenneth Branagh's character because she's an art appraiser. Her job is an art appraiser.
Right.
And she appraised a piece of art for $7 million.
Yes.
That he then bought for $7 million and that it turned out to be a forgery.
Right.
And so now she's like, I can't, he'll ruin my career if I go against him or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I don't really, like, the stakes of the movie are the world is going to end. Right. And she's like, no, I can't betray him because he has me under his thumb because of this $7 million thing. Meanwhile, he owns like 50 yachts and he's like a billionaire. Right. Like $7 million, I think it's $7 million. That's not going to, who cares, man?
And it also was never clear why she appraised it as real. Like, it was like, was she conning him?
No, it doesn't matter. And there's the most amazing moment in Tenet is by far is there's, she's, her thing is that she's trying to protect her son. She has a son.
Yes.
She doesn't want her son to come to any danger. Right. And at one point, the main character of the film tells her that the reason that he is doing what he is doing is because there is a threat to the entire planet. I think it's aliens. I don't even remember, but I think it's aliens.
Right.
Or the future, something in the future, people
it's
in the future.
Future
are
yeah,
gonna,
I think it's
right?
the future, yeah.
And so he basically, there's a key moment in which he says to her, if we don't do this, every single person on Earth will die.
Yeah.
And she gets a faraway look in her eyes and says, including my son. And it's like, yeah, yes, that's accurate. But like, do you understand that, like, the whatever you feel about your son pales in comparison to the thought of total global extinction?
Global extinction? That's so dull. I mean, look, Christopher Nolan has made some of the best movies of the last year and taken huge swings. I mean, Memento, my gosh, it was like,
he's made five all-time classics.
All-time
classics.
Yeah,
just an incredible filmmaker. Yeah. That movie was,
he just went off the deep end.
An incomprehensible mess.
he just went off the deep end. Did you see Loper, by the way? Have you seen Loper?
Loper or Looper?
Looper, whatever.
Looper.
Looper's the one where, like, they're setting from the future, right?
Yeah, now I want to see a movie called Loper.
I'm writing a movie called Loper, which is going to be great. No, you've seen Looper, though,
Looper's
right?
Looper's amazing. Yeah, Looper's great.
I thought it was really good. Again, I'm like, why do I need to go to these movies that just completely twist my brain inside out?
Oh, it's so fun. But that's why Nolan is great.
Yeah.
He didn't make Looper. I believe
no,
it was
he didn't
Ryan
make
Johnson.
But it was sort of inspired.
When Memento or Inception or one of those movies connects,
that's true.
I find it endlessly, it's like a miracle to me.
Yeah.
When your brain could get scrambled that way,
in
a way that you can, what I love more than anything, and this is really what Inception was all about to me. I don't know why we're now talking an hour into this draft podcast. We're talking about old Christopher Nolan movies. But the feeling in Inception was I was like, I spent the entire movie right on the knife's edge of comprehension.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I think I've got it. I think I know what's going on. Like, and that when it holds together and it has and it has structural integrity, that's to me is thrilling. That's like,
yeah, no,
that's
I agree with that.
That's a $250 million art film that guy made.
Yeah.
And just the execution, the acumen to put it together is off the charts.
Genius. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so when those movies work, I think they're among the most exciting and transformative movie experiences you can have. When they don't work, they're Tenet and they make me laugh out loud on a plane. Because it's so absurd. And
yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. All right, we're going to leave it alone. But next time, I think we're going to draft the five favorite movies that we scrambled our brains. There you go.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, right? All right, so we're gonna tell you in advance that's going to be our next draft. All right, Mike. Or it won't be.
Or we'll forget that we had this conversation.
We'll decide not to for sort of a twist.
Yeah.
Like a little twist.
We'll scramble your brain.
expecting this draft. All right, Mike, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Podcast. Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.